Bloodlust Horrorcast, episode 22. Yeah!
You gave a few interviews after Hostel 2 came out where you were pretty angry at people for downloading the thing. Do you still
I'm furious. Here's the thing. It's real money. I mean, people say, oh, you can't get mad at people downloading. Well, when are you supposed to get mad? If you don't speak out against it now, then when? I mean, that's the point, is that it's like you spend all this time making this product, and then people take it and steal it for free and pay nothing. And the audience that's specifically doing it is 17, 18, 19. It's the college kids, and that's my audience. And unless you start an awareness about it, that it's not okay, then it's never going to change. You know, in Japan, there's no piracy. You think they don't have technology for piracy in Japan? They have it better than any of us. But they don't, because there's cultural shame associated with it. And now it's like you say, well, they're going after pirates. Good. They should go after every single one of them. I mean, it's not okay to do that. The thing is that people have to realize that there is an effect to that. That when movies are pirated and they're stolen and then they're being sold on the street for a dollar a copy, and that's what people are buying, and they're not going to the box office, or the release is much smaller than it was because they say, well, why put it on the street when no one's going to go see it in the theaters? There's an effect to that. It means it causes a ripple effect over every single department. Everybody makes less money, and then they're not, I mean, there is no Hostel 3. It's not happening. I mean, I think that, I'm not saying it's the fault of piracy, but I'm saying that people have to be aware that it is a problem, and it does affect filmmakers.
Welcome to episode 22 of the Bloodlust Horrorcast. I'm Blake.
And I'm Matt.
The audio you just heard was from an interview with MTV.com on October 18th with Eli Roth, which I guess was right before the DVD for Hostel 2 came out. And, 2 weeks ago, we talked about Hostel 2. I talked about how I liked it. I do still genuinely like it. I think it's a good movie. But after hearing this interview, I think Eli Roth is a complete piece of shit, even more than I did beforehand. And I'm now pledging that I'm never going to pay to see anything Eli Roth touches ever again. I mean, maybe like if it's a Grindhouse type situation where he's just like...
Where you have no choice?
Yeah, but like the trailer trash thing, I'm going to pirate that. Any new movies he's involved with, I might pirate them, but I'm never going to pay to see them again.
I think we should just pirate them, just because, even if we don't want to fucking watch them.
Yeah.
And all of you should, too.
But, yeah, I mean, honestly, I bought Hostel 2. I'm asking all of you to not buy Hostel 2. Pirate it if you want to see it. Because he is a piece of shit. Yeah.
You think you can return it? On that basis, that you want to pirate it?
This filmmaker is a piece of shit.
No, that you want to pirate the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just bring it. I don't know. I mean, you guys all heard the interview. It's just
tell us what you think.
It's insane. It's insane to me that he would think that. And I think he's just such an asshole that he believes shit like that is true, where his movie didn't succeed because of pirating. That's the only logical thing he came up with. Because his movie was pirated, but I mean every movie that comes out nowadays is pirated, and there are successful movies. The reason that movie was unsuccessful was because they released it in June, during the time when they were releasing Pirates of the Caribbean, Shrek, Spider-Man, all the huge blockbusters. Nobody wants to go see fucking Hostel 2.
It's true. How well did the first one do?
The first one... overall made $80 million, I think, in the theaters. This one made, like, 20.
Ouch.
Yeah. The movie failed terribly. Number one...
Because Hostel 1 was kind of bad.
Hostel 1 was not a good movie. It was okay. I can have fun watching it, but it's not a good movie at all. It came out at a time when the market was flooded with horror movies. All of the ones released this entire year have failed, except for Saw. And... it was released in the summer. There's no reason to release a horror movie in the summer. Nobody does it. The first one was successful. They released it in January, which is known as like the shit month for movies. And it's a time when everybody's like in a bad mood anyway, so they just want to go see people get murdered.
It's true. It's one of the most depressed times of the year.
Yeah, it's fucked up. And the fact that he would say that there's no piracy in Japan is first of all insane.
Because he has a good reason for it. It's a cultural difference.
He doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. I'm sure he's been to Japan. I haven't. I'm sure he's been to Japan. But
what makes you say that?
Because he's a filmmaker and they go to do festivals and shit like that. But the idea that there's no piracy in Japan is fucking ludicrous in the first place.
I'll tell you why. I watch pirate videos 2 or 3 times a week, and they're always from Yokozuna's website.
I'm sure a lot of them are Chinese and stuff. And
you can't tell the difference. I don't think he knew the difference.
As far as like the cultural thing, if anything, like in China, I'm sure there's not a lot of downloading from BitTorrent sites and things like that because
they don't have fucking internet.
Because of the restrictions on their internet, they can't even Google a lot of shit because, like, I don't know, they're
communist.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, but Asia as a whole is the central location for piracy. In India and fucking Vietnam and all those places, you can't release movies in the theaters for more than a couple days because piracy just takes over after that. It's such a huge marketplace.
Now, I don't know about you, but we're all basically college students who probably listen. How many pirate DVDs do you actually own?
Not a single one. I mean, I realize I'm away from the norm where even CDs that I pirate, my rule essentially is that, like, if I keep it after the day it's released, then I'll go buy it. If I'm still listening to it at that point, then I'll go pay for it. Otherwise, I don't really care. But, I mean, a lot of people do pirate, but they're not going to...
How do you know that? I mean, who keeps track of...
I mean, yeah, the idea that... I mean, it's just sort of common sense. I think that it's mostly teenagers, just because they're the ones using the internet. So, like, the numbers have to be there.
But pirating's always been around.
Yeah, I mean...
He didn't say the internet, though. He was talking about dollar DVDs.
Right. I mean, and the thing is that they are fucking us. They're fucking us over on prices. They were supposed to lower prices on DVDs 10 years ago. I mean, not 10 years ago. That's retarded. I'm talking about CDs. But, okay, they're supposed to lower prices on DVDs because of how cheap it is to manufacture a DVD.
Yeah.
It's so, so cheap to make a DVD. That's why the straight-to-DVD market is so huge, because it's just, there's so much money to be made there. And horror movies as a whole are not supposed to be huge blockbusters. That's why Hostel 2, like, isn't supposed to succeed.
But do you think Eli Roth even can admit that?
No, I mean, Eli Roth is a fucking egotistical piece of shit. I saw another interview he did on, I don't know where it was, but I think I read it on JoelBlow.com. He was saying how he thinks he's done with horror because he thinks he's done all he can with it. Like,
wow.
Like, he's made the most gory, fucked up horror movie ever made, and so now he's got to move on to another genre. And he was comparing himself to Sam Raimi and Peter Jackson, how they did horror movies early in their career and now are doing, like, the biggest movies on the planet.
Okay.
Which, that idea is so stupid, because while Eli Roth is a good director and a great director within the horror genre, he's not, like, a great director in terms of Hollywood. And when you go back and look at Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2 and Peter Jackson's early movies, like Dead Alive, those movies are fantastically, like, directed, and they're fantastic movies. They're working with insanely low budgets and doing amazing things. Like Sam Raimi inventing new technology for how to shoot on Evil Dead with like $30,000 and making a fantastic movie. And that's why he got to direct Spider-Man, because he's an amazing filmmaker, and Eli Roth is not at all.
I'm pretty sure he was a studio guy, wasn't he?
Who?
By the time he did Hostel, wasn't he just represented by a studio? Isn't he part of the Hollywood machine?
He made Cabin Fever on a semi-low budget, not like a low budget by the standards of what Peter Jackson and Sam Raimi.
Yeah, but now he's part of the Hollywood machine, isn't he?
Yeah, he had a weird series of events where his movie got picked up at Sundance and became like, it was going to be a huge deal, and it ended up, a lot of people didn't really like it that much, but still by that time, he was like getting offers fucking out the ass, and Quentin Tarantino wanted to do something with him, so they did Hostel because it was going to be cheap and all that bullshit. But, I mean, he's not a great filmmaker, and he's a piece of shit for thinking that he can, like, flip these movies and, like, go into being part of the Hollywood machine, and even though he already is. But still, I hate him.
It really worked out good for Peter Jackson, though.
Yeah.
Where is he now? Probably blackballed pretty soon. What is he doing nowadays?
Who, Peter Jackson?
Yeah, Peter Jackson.
He's making Lovely Bones.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Peter Jackson's a great filmmaker.
Okay.
He's amazing.
He kind of screwed himself out of...
What do you mean?
I don't know. I don't know what company that was, Paramount or whoever fucking did Lord of the Rings, probably whenever hired.
Oh, New Line. Well, he's not going to work
with... Oh, that was New Line? Fuck, never mind.
The New Line deal...
Never mind. No,
okay, we can... Well, just to explain, the New Line deal was fucked up because he didn't feel like he got enough money, and fairly so, because... Just
tell him to go listen to episode Peter Jackson. We talked about that.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, yeah. Go listen to whatever episode we talked... We did the Peter Jackson shit.
Yeah.
But...
I forgot it was New Line, so that, never mind. They don't fucking do shit anymore.
Yeah, they, I mean, they were bankrolled because of Wes Craven and the Nightmare on Elm Street series. So.
And then they got saved by Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, they were going to go under again.
Yeah, so.
But I don't know. I just, if you guys have any comments, you can email us at blowlosshorrorcast.com. But I think it's just insane for him to make these statements.
I'm just glad Alfred Hitchcock never decided to... He was a great filmmaker in his time, and Peter Jackson's going back to his roots. Is that what Lovely Bones is?
Yeah, it's a smaller project, which is a really good idea, because King Kong, even though I do like it, was a mistake to do something that big right after Lord of the Rings, which is why he was like passing out on set and shit, and he had to have Bryan Singer come out and shoot for him. But yeah, I mean, it's just this whole idea. We can go through. I didn't do a ton of research because I don't, but I mean, you can go through just. The movie last week, American Gangster, which is the biggest opening for a gangster movie ever. And in terms of numbers, it's comparable to Scarface and things like that were huge openings. It made $45 million. It was available on the internet weeks ahead of time.
I tried to watch it.
Yeah. Famously, the Star Wars sequels... prequels, I guess, were available on the internet way fucking ahead of time.
Fucking Harry Potter was on the fucking internet.
And you can say, and Pirates of the Caribbean 2 was available weeks ahead of time. That was like, it's like the fifth biggest movie of all time in terms of actual gross. And some of those are event movies, which is why those movies make so much money anyway, but...
American Gangster is not an event movie.
Right. And the thing about it is... The market is changing, and people just need to accept that.
The market's always been there, though.
The reason why people will pirate ahead of time and then movies make $80 million on DVD afterwards is because they no longer have to go and see these movies in the theaters because they can watch them at home on their HD TVs
that
look amazing.
Pirate videos have always been there. It's a theater experience people go to.
Yeah.
Like, you're talking about CDs, I'd do the same thing. I'll download 1,000 songs from an artist and then go buy a CD.
Yeah.
There's something about the experience part, and that will keep theaters alive.
Yeah, and I mean, this has been a topic that's been talked about for a long time, but...
Forever?
A lot of people say...
Fuck, the radio is supposed to fucking ruin sports.
And the idea was always that Napster was killing.
Yeah.
But that was a time when the music industry was flourishing because people were going through people's playlists and seeing what else they had from people they were downloading from and finding new artists and going and buying that CD.
Listen, CD, I mean, like, it's radio was going to ruin sports, and then TV was going to ruin sports. It never does. There is something about the experience of, I think it's kind of romantic, but not that sense of romantic. Emerson kind of. Yeah. Romantic, yes. Anyways, of the experience of...
I mean, and the argument that I've always heard that I think is great is, like, if you don't want people to pirate it, go back to analog. Just fuck, like, releasing things on home video or DVD at all. Don't ever put anything in a digital format, only analog. And then you won't have anything pirated, but you don't want to do that because of how cheap it is to release a DVD and how much fucking money you're going to make from that. So
didn't they still find ways to, because I mean, Bob Dylan has put out 7 bootleg series CDs that were all recorded on basement tapes and analog. People still find ways to pirate. There's so much pirated music out that these artists do release bootleg series after 20 years, after they realize how huge the bootlegs, like Grateful Dead, requires you to fucking record their shows. Mainly because you're too fucking stoned at the show to remember it, so you kind of want to remember it. But Pearl Jam kind of took on board that. They realized everything was being bootlegged, so package it on CD and people will buy it. It's always going to be there. It's never going to go away, and it's not actually going to hurt you if you put out a good product.
Right.
Which is the key issue here, is you don't put out a good product, and you put it out at the worst fucking time.
Exactly. I mean... I really do think Hostel 2 is a fun fucking movie. I had a great time watching that movie, but he is in no way like the most fucked up horror filmmaker. He is a part of the Hollywood machine, and like the entire idea of the horror genre is for it to be small, with the exception of movies like Halloween and things like that, which are, you know,
to be fair to Halloween, no.
able to be marketable.
Yeah,
but he thinks that he's like the most fucked up guy. But I mean, he's obviously not, and he makes subpar products for both audiences, I think. And I don't know.
Fuck, we've been talking 15 minutes about Eli Roth.
I've actually been not an Eli Roth. I've never been an apologist for Eli Roth, I guess, but I have in some sense, because there's people, especially within the hardcore horror genre, who absolutely hate him.
Oh, the kid to your right absolutely hates him. Not because right. I'm a hardcore horror fan, just because I hate him.
Yeah. I mean, he is a piece of shit, and I've always said that his movies are fun, and I think they are okay, but, I mean, I just... This interview that he did completely changed my opinion on him as, like, having any merit as a human being. I just cannot believe that he would say shit like this, so... I don't know. You guys can make up your own decisions on what to think about it. Email us, bolushorrorcast@gmail.com, if you have an opinion you want to let us know about it. But.
And hold on. Oh, one last comment is we're doing the Saw movies, and
yeah,
they were all on the internet. I actually was going to watch a little bit of Saw beforehand, and Saw just came out, and, well, it was a little bit less than Saw 3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but still made more money in one fucking weekend than Hostel 2 made, and it was out.
Double.
Yeah. And it was out way before it
exactly,
too. And it's still out there now.
And not like, I mean, we're going to talk about the Saw movies, but not like the Saw movies are so fucking great and saving the horror genre.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, they know how to market. They fucking have the entire market taken for Halloween. Nobody's even thinking about releasing. Their marketing campaign isn't even like explaining the plot of the new movie. It's just, if it's Halloween, it has to be Saw.
Yep.
So, I mean.
Should we explain why that it is? I'm just trying to fucking segue, sir.
I know. I'm
You're so fucking foaming at the mouth at hatred over Eli Roth that you just can't concentrate.
Yeah. Anyway, make your own decisions, but I'm never paying for...
Don't make your own decisions. Don't ever pay. Listen to us.
I'm never paying for an Eli Roth product again.
Luckily, ever. I never have, I don't think.
I own all of his movies up to this point, and I'm never buying another one again.
Can you just burn them for me just so I can... burn about 10 of them for me of each copy so I can fucking play, like, catch with them outside with fucking oncoming traffic.
And kids. And
talking about that, I almost hit a fucking gimp today coming over to your house.
Really?
And she was standing in the middle of the road for no apparent reason, and she stood her ground, and I didn't actually... actually wasn't fucking paying attention. Playing, I honestly had to fucking, like, swerve out of the way.
She was playing chicken with you?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's like, yeah, I guess you might not have felt anything, so it'd be all right. And somehow this is going to...
segue into Saw. Which...
I had 3 or 4 perfect fucking segues, and now we're fucking segueing in with me hitting a fucking gimp.
Yes. So anyway...
Well, I got a segue.
Okay.
The best fucking gimp is in Saw. It's a self-inflicted gimp.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty shitty, I'll admit.
Anyway, we were talking about the 4 Saw movies. Started by James Wan and Lee Whannell, the sort of duo from Australia who famously just sort of wanted to make a movie.
Yeah.
For no other reason, just because they wanted to make something. So they thought up an idea that they could make a movie as cheaply as possible. And they came up with just having 2 guys chained up in a room and sort of started there. And
so we're going to start off with Saw 3 then, right?
Yeah, Saw
then
3.
Then go to Saw 2, then Saw 4, then we'll start off with Saw 1. So kick back and be ready to be confused.
Yeah, and if you've never seen the Saw movies before, which I can't believe because you're listening to a horror podcast, yeah. And those movies make fucking $80 million. So anyway, just to break down the plot of Saw, it's essentially that story of 2 men wake up chained in a room and they need to figure out what's going on. And slowly over the course of the movie, they start finding clues about why they're there. The first one being a tape recorder of a voice saying to one of them being Dr. Lawrence Gordon. And his thing is that he has to kill the other man in the room.
Yep. By 6 o'clock.
Yeah. And the other man being Adam. And what was his thing? he had to do? Did he have to do anything? Or I don't just think he fucking I think had he just had to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just play and survive. There's also, within the room, there's a dead man lying there with the tape recorder that they find and a gun. And sort of over the course of the movie, they start finding pieces of the puzzle, like a bullet for the gun and some other clues and things.
Follow the heart. Yeah. X marks the spot.
Right. And while all of this is going on, there's all, it's also the sort of flashbacks and then the story of Lawrence's wife.
Yeah.
And his family, where they get abducted, and he eventually finds out that he has to kill Adam in order for them to survive. And then you also sort of follow the story of a two detectives, David Tapp, who is played by Danny Glover.
Who's fucking awesome.
Yeah. And he's sort of following the Jigsaw murders.
Just a little too closely.
Yeah. And we see flashbacks of, like, the starting of the Jigsaw case and things like that.
So was the Fat Man his first case?
Presumably. But, I mean, in the later films, we do find out that there was stuff before
technically,
that.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah. Although, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah. I forgot. That's all four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. His first case. So, essentially, yeah, it's just the story of this insane killer named Jigsaw who never actually kills anyone. He sets up traps and in order to test the will of people.
Yeah, and he still kills them all.
He's
never liked that part that they always tried to portray him as a guy who was like kind of a moral guy who never actually killed anyone.
I mean, even if you're going according to the law, he is like an accomplice to murder or something.
He's not a fucking accomplice. He fucking killed him. Yeah, he set up their murder fucking weapon.
Yeah. I don't know what you would call that. That's not involuntary, I guess. What is that?
He always had the way to
second
stop.
Degree, maybe?
So that's just difference of like
trying to think.
Premeditated and meditated.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway. I don't know. I just always, because he always, as we'll find out, and of course you all know, he's always there and he could stop it at any time.
Right.
And he never does.
So anyway, first Saw movie made for $1.2 million, opened fucking huge. And ended up making, I mean, it was like $50 million in the U.S. and then like 100 worldwide or 80 worldwide or something. What do you think about it? I mean, it like fucking revitalized the horror genre in terms of Hollywood, so.
Yeah, it was definitely the only reason we still have all this fucking crap out.
Yeah.
Thank you, Saul.
Yeah.
But it was in the theater, like, I was laughing half the time because it's really poorly acted and poorly written.
Right.
But the ending would be like, it's one of those theater experiences that just will,
yeah,
just always be there.
I know that
just the whole shock of the entire movie audience.
We're gonna be spoiling these, right?
How can we fucking not? Yeah, and two, as you said, if you haven't seen this, then just go kill yourself now.
Yeah,
but wait, don't do it. Set up some elaborate trap, and you can still get your way out if you have enough willpower.
Yeah,
because that way you won't be called a suicidist?
Yeah, suicidist. Well, it's like a Kevorkian-esque type thing. Yeah. He never killed, or he did kill somebody. That's why he got arrested, right?
He always killed you.
No, he didn't. The only time he killed people was like, there was a couple cases where they were so weak where they couldn't even push the button. Yeah. So like, I like Kevorkian though.
Yeah,
he's a good man.
He's a good man.
Yes.
I mean, fuck, I hope he's
speaking honestly too.
Yeah, if he's fucking around when I'm
yeah
in that state.
I'm probably going to kill myself when I'm like 55-ish, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awkward.
I mean, that's my plan as of right now. It might change when I get to that age, but
yeah.
I don't really want to feel like getting any older. Anyway, Saw, yeah, I mean, obviously the huge thing about Saw is the ending. Going back to Saw, though, because I saw Saw in the theater opening weekend, like I'm sure a lot of you did at that time in 2004, and then I bought the very first release of the DVD, and I watched that, and then I watched the commentary, too. And I haven't watched it since then, so that's probably been going on 3 years now.
Yes. Halloween of 04.
Yeah. So, I mean, going back to this movie, I didn't realize how terribly written it was. It's the worst fucking script. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
How terrible the dialogue is between these people.
I guess I was... That's why I laughed the entire time.
I think my memory of it is like so tied to the commentary because if you feel like listening to the commentary, I did because
you're weird.
Yeah. And it's an interesting commentary and Lee Whannell is a really funny person. So like maybe I was thinking he's like better at writing dialogue than he is just because he was funny on the commentary, but it's a terribly written movie. The way they discover like all the clues is like ridiculous. I mean, I realize some of them would work, but just, I don't know. Even through the like course of the entire movie, the way that he sets up stuff so perfectly where like if one thing fucks up, like nothing will work is just kind of crazy. I don't know.
Examples, sir.
I'm trying to think. We watched these movies 2 weeks ago. Well, like the thing with the cigarettes and things like that where none of those events would happen. And then like cut to Donnie Wahlberg in the later movies where like right away he fucking figures out that he can saw off his foot. Which I guess because he saw the foot, but
yeah,
and then he just breaks his foot. But I don't know, just the way that the story plays out doesn't really make sense. Where he knew that Adam was going to be stuck in there, and I guess he didn't. But I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay, neither am I. Honestly, I have no fucking clue what you're talking about.
Well, I mean, just like Jigsaw's whole plan with like where he was going to be in there that amount of time. Like just the idea that it was going to play out till 6 and they were only going to they're going to like stagger these figuring out of shit doesn't really make sense.
That's kind of like his genius though.
I guess, but I don't know. I just think it's poorly written.
Okay. I mean, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
That's kind of like he's always supposed to be. It's supposed to be, he's always planning ahead. He's going to know what you're going to do. Just ask Amanda.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Do you have anything to say about Saw?
What a hell of a plot review for Saw.
Well, dude, let's make it a conversation. What do you think about it?
What do you mean?
What do you think about Saw?
As I already told you what I fucking thought about Saw.
Okay.
I think it doesn't make... Another thing is that when you watch the other three, no offense to anybody, I just don't think it makes sense. It just doesn't fit in.
What?
Just the whole Saw part. Like... How he...
The title?
No, not the title. The whole entire... the rest of the three movies just... It's a little thing I have where they're just made for money. Like, there's no logical point of Saw 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
How the story unfolds. If you're done watching Saw 1, you don't expect Saw 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
So I just have a problem.
Yeah, I think
that
makes sense. There's no real reason why he would bring in another person or anything like that.
I mean, that's kind of ruined Jigsaw for me too.
Well, and I also like just the DVDs that we watched were called the Saw Trilogy, and I think that like the 2, 3, and 4 Darren Lynn Boozman's movies are like their own separate trilogy, from the first one, because they feel very different.
They feel, well, of course they had a little bit more money.
Yeah, so. But I mean, just the, I don't know, the sense of atmosphere was different. Where,
I really think that's all because of money and time. Didn't they shoot Saw in like 14 days or something insane? Like
18 days.
18 days? That's
if I recall.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah. And they shot like the entire movies is indoors except for like two shots.
Yeah.
So it was a very limited budget. And the fact that they made this movie in that amount of time without money is incredible. But the script, I just think, is not completely up to par.
Was Saw 1 the fucking... No, never mind. That's Saw 2.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get to the
and
the biggest fucking the fuck.
And actually, I think Saw, like, one of the biggest problems is the two actors who are, like, names, Danny Glover and Cary Elwes. I think they're fucking terrible in this movie. Cary Elwes is horrendous.
Which one's she?
Cary Elwes, the dude, Dr. Gordon.
Oh, that's a fucking guy?
Yeah, from The Princess Bride.
Oh, I'll give you that. But Danny Glover fucking rocked.
He can't move.
That was kind of because he got his fucking throat slit.
He couldn't move before that, though.
Yeah, he's too old for this shit.
I mean, I will give you that Danny Glover's an awesome man, but I don't think he's good in this movie.
He's a fucking liberal fucking piece of shit now, fucking hanging out with Hugo Chavez, gonna do some fucking Mexican movie.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. Maybe I think everyone sucked in that movie, so Danny Glover deserved the Best Actor award for Saw.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's fair by comparison to other people in the movie. But I mean, Lee Whannell, I think while he's not good, he's better than Cary Elwes for sure. He plays Adam, by the way.
Yeah.
But I mean, the acting is completely subpar. And then I guess, I don't know, do you want to move into, oh, we'll just rate them all at the end. You want to move into Saw 2? Why don't you break down that one?
Do I have to?
Yes.
Let's see. It basically starts, it's the story of Donnie Wahlberg and his son. Okay.
What?
Hold on.
It's essentially, it's essentially.
I don't know what, I'm trying to do it how you did Saw 1, that we just kind of, anyway, some boys and girls wake up in a house.
Yeah.
They find, it's one of, it's Donnie Wahlberg's son. Donnie Wahlberg and the cops go basically find Jigsaw in his place, and so it's Jigsaw saying, if you just sit here and talk to me, your son will be all right. And they're watching the video of all these people in the house, and they're gonna die in 2 hours.
Right.
And Donnie Wahlberg goes fucking crazy, and they don't wait for 2 hours, and the people in the house all die except for his son.
Yeah, I mean, the difference I think with each sort of further down Saw movie is like it becomes less about the story of the people in the trap and more about the people surrounding the whole environment, which, this one being the cops mostly. Yeah,
which I think is another horrible aspect of 2, 3, and 4. I really like the fact that 4 kind of returned to it a little bit since they tried to force... I'm just ruining going straight to Saw 4. But yeah, I really do like the fact that they
even in that one, it's like different because it's this... It's not... I mean, it's kind of the story of the people in the traps, but it's more like the story of this guy who's been around it and now becomes a part of it. So it's like still kind of different.
Yeah. But yeah.
I mean,
Saw 2 is no fucking story at all.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you know it's different from the start because it opens on Donnie Wahlberg. Like that's who we're following through this movie. And that's sort of like the important thing of a movie is like whoever you start with is like your protagonist and that's who you're going to care about the whole movie. So like,
and it's really hard to care about Donnie Wahlberg.
Yeah. I mean, the story. Once you get to him finding Jigsaw and Jigsaw sort of explaining the trap to him, it's sort of like the people in the room you care a lot less about than you care about Donnie Wahlberg. I mean, you care about his son, but you care more about Donnie Wahlberg finding his son, I think.
I was just rooting for them all to die myself. I was just finding out how they're all going to get fucked over.
I wanted the new kids on the block to show up and then fucking dance away the problems. But...
Donnie Wahlberg, was he in that? I thought his brother was the underwear model. His
brother was Marky Mark.
Yeah.
And now a much better actor.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is my least favorite of the Saw movies, I think. Mainly because it focuses on Shawnee Smith, who is not terrible in everything, but she's terrible in this movie.
Is that Amanda?
Yes. Okay. That's Amanda.
Thank you.
So, yeah.
The fuck are you using the real fucking names for? These are all a bunch of fucking B-rate fucking actors and actresses. That's true. Like, we fucking know any of them.
Well, Shawnee Smith is pretty popular, I guess. I mean, not really. I mean, she's in The Blob and shit like that, but...
Whoa!
Blob remake.
Well, that's a really big...
Well, it's because we're zoomed in.
Yeah, it's true.
So, like, yeah, I mean, I think especially the problem in this movie is, like, all the characters in the room that are trying to find their way... Or the house, I guess... are like just stereotypical characters.
Yeah.
They end up essentially finding out that the reason they're connected is that they've all spent time in prison. And then later on they find out that the reason they're all falsely accused of crimes by Donnie Wahlberg's character, Eric Matthews. So it like sort of twists the relationship in the house, which already like a lot of them were dead at that point, but where like Donnie Wahlberg's kid is now like they all hate him or whatever. Which I don't get, but whatever. So this movie, I think, had probably the best traps of any of them, though. Do you think? Or no? Like, when I think Saw, like, I, of course, think of the ending of the original Saw, and then I think, for me, personally, the needle scene.
The needle, Saw 2, yeah.
Because that was fucked up.
Yeah, that was pretty bad.
And
the extended version's even worse. Mainly because she just lays there, and it's kind of like, huh.
And they're... fucking just sticking out of her and she's crunching into him with her fucking bare hand. Oh, it's so horrible. So, I think this one probably had the best traps. And then I also, like, the near the end where they, I guess we didn't explain that the reason that they have to escape within a certain amount of time is because there's a gas being released into the house and they're all going to die within a couple hours from it.
So but luckily they all have an antidote if they just...
Yeah, which not all of them could get the antidote, but... Essentially, they're all wandering around the house trying to find an antidote.
And that antidote most likely wouldn't have worked anyways, right?
Oh, okay. the point we were talking about earlier where, like, he has stuff perfectly timed. Ah, shit, I guess Amanda works with that one. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was thinking the door in the needle room where, like, she could have... But even still, then, like, the fact that she would pass it off to him with 10 seconds and then that he would drop it and not be able to unlock the door is still, like, weird. If you haven't seen this movie, this doesn't make sense, but...
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I will admit, there is a lot of convenient kind of opening the doors and doors locking and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then... We're not there yet, but in Saw 3, like, where the motherfucker walks into every room and the door locks behind him and he's always, like, surprised by it.
That. And the fact that it looks like it's really mazy and there's a lot of, like, offshoots, he always walks down the right corridor.
Yeah.
And goes to the right fucking door.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but Saw 2 is basically they all have to, they can get an anecdote, and that's kind of anecdote. No, anecdote.
Anecdote.
Yeah, they're telling some anecdotes the entire story. That's the way to solve it. But like what you did back when you're like 8 years old.
Right.
Before you're a shoplifting whore.
So like this movie, it's like sort of the main thing is the Donnie Wahlberg story. And it's Jigsaw tells him, if you just sit with me and talk with me, your son will be fine. Yeah. He will wake
90
up.
Minutes.
He will wake up in a nice, safe environment.
Yeah.
Which was funny hearing, like, because I haven't watched any of these movies more than once except for 2 weeks ago. His story, like, he goes through these different emotions where he's like calm and then he starts flipping out and trying to break shit. And essentially, he makes a deal with Jigsaw where Jigsaw will take him to the house to find his son. And, you know, the twist at the end is if he would have just stayed, that he would have been fine.
What's even worse, though, is the fact that the SWAT team somehow figures out through the VCR broadcasting over satellite.
I never got that. Like, I don't know. I never understood.
Was it broadcast over satellite? How exactly did that work?
I don't know. I mean, they were tracing. They were, like, tracing its location, which I didn't understand. Like, I didn't know if he had, like, a dedicated line set up, like. And then you couldn't, like, trace the wires, or did you have.
How would he fucking. You'd notice fucking wires because you had to either put them underground so you'd notice a guy fucking digging 2 miles of holes.
That's what I'm saying. Or he, like, had, like, it was just set up and then, like, you could just check the IP address, which you can't trace to an exact location.
Correct. You just, maybe he had his own mother computer and own server there.
Yeah, but I mean, still, unless you're, like, a business, you're still getting your IP address from an ISP.
So maybe,
like,
he created the entire thing himself, is what I'm trying to say.
He's Al Gore?
Yeah.
He created the internet?
Yeah. And later, Man Bear Pigs shows up in Saw 3. Do you see that fucking commercial of, I think, 30 Rock Sun or something like that?
No.
Sorry, that's three. That's the third rock from the sun. No, it's where the sun part came
Joseph
from.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
No, Al Gore is... you don't
30 watch... Rock, you're talking.
30 Rock, yeah.
Yes. On the when they went green this weekend. Yeah, it was fun.
Fucking Al Gore did his South Park little fucking woo thing that South Park always made him do. You don't watch South Park, do you?
No. I mean, not all the time.
There's the Man Bear Pig episode, and he has a fucking cape, and he's kind of... And then the Imagination episode, he just kind of goes... That is pretty funny. Oh, there's a dolphin in distress, or whatever
was his,
he said.
His joke, yeah, he's like, there's a whale...
A whale.
Yeah.
He should have said dolphin because we all know hot girls like to save dolphins.
Yeah.
And then
Tina Fey actually made David Schwimmer funny on that episode too, which is shocking.
Jesus.
I mean, he was still less funny than if they'd found any other actor on the planet, but...
I never understood, like, Bands of Brothers. I never watched it, but he's in it and people like it.
Yeah. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Fuck David Schwimmer too. Yeah. It's number two on our list.
Yeah.
Fuck people list.
Let's see. How can we get this back onto Saw? Saw was not made green.
Right.
I think they killed fucking seals to make this movie.
Yeah. And then this movie, I think, you know, obviously the directorial debut of Darren Lynn Boozman. The thing I did like in terms of the directing wise was he carried over some of the things like from Saw, which is like the transitions, which becomes like a huge visual thing that's specific to Saw. And I was watching some of the special features. And, like, the way he walks from one room to another, I thought that was, like, a digital effect. But, like, they actually just build the sets next to each other and pull the wall out while he's walking. It's weird. But, yeah. Anyway, things like that are really cool. Okay. And they don't really add anything to the story, but it's, like, a cool way to tell that idea of, like, I'm here and then I'm here without like having the map and then like
yeah,
point A to point B and drawing dots like from Indiana Jones. But anyway, I don't know. The visual style of Saw, I think, is the big thing, and the traps, which this movie carried forward. And I think in terms of the visuals, Darren Lynn Bousman did a lot more with the movie than James Wan. But in terms of like telling a story, I don't think
it's quite as well done. And the acting is somehow, I felt, even worse. Yeah. The big Mexican guy.
He is so terrible.
Yeah.
And then another thing in the extras was he was like, talking about how Darren Lynn Bousman was talking about how they had a low budget, and he was saying like somehow the acting made up for it because the acting was so great in these movies, and it's just terrible. They have the worst actors in all these movies.
He must be dating like one of the actresses.
But it's like, I don't know. You don't watch Battlestar Galactica, but it's like that thing where it's like all the Viper pilots, like there's background characters who never say a line for like two seasons, and then like somehow in the third season they become like a major character, which is like what they do in Saw, where like the Riggins guy, I think, has been in all of the movies. And then somehow in the fourth movie, he's like the star.
Huh.
That's weird.
We'll get to that too later.
Yeah.
And basically Saw 2 ends with Donnie Wahlberg getting a fast one pulled on him and throwing in the same exact.
Yeah. Because they end up finding out that the movie that they were
it's a movie.
Yeah, the screens that they were watching playing out of like the people trapped in the room was actually taken, I guess, a few hours ahead of time or a day ahead of time or some sort of thing like that. And so
we'll just blame that description on bad writing.
Right.
And bad memory.
Jigsaw takes him actually back to the original house where the first Saw took place, which is where it ties in. And Donnie Wahlberg sort of wanders down to the room where Adam and Dr. Gordon were and sees the bodies. And then Amanda shows up and says, "Game over," the line from Saw 1.
Yeah.
That's where we end, knowing that Amanda is now working with Jigsaw.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah. So, going to Saw 3, again directed by Darren Bousman and written by Lee Whannell. Essentially, this one more so follows the story of this father named Jeff, played by Angus McFadden. And he has lost his son in, like, We end up finding out that it was in a car accident. He got run over by a guy who just wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, why they fucking made an hour and a half build up to that?
I know.
I don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, I think that we'll talk about it in a second, but Saw 3 and Saw 4 are like, should be taken as one movie. Because I think Saw 3 was such an, I think it was a better movie than Saw 2 because it was just like, I think Angus McFadden was a better actor than most of the other people that have been in the movie. And I think it's just kind of, the traps were interesting. It sort of figured out that it's not ever going to be a great movie. So it's just like, make it about the traps, make it sort of a simple story, something you can just look at and have fun.
Like a girl's chest being ripped open. What gets funner than that?
Exactly. So, yeah, it's the story of that. And then we're also following the story of Jigsaw and Amanda, and also the story of the police tracking Jigsaw. And they're all sort of happening at once, we believe, I guess.
Yeah. It's even fucking more confusing when Saw 4 comes in.
The timeline in these movies started to get fucked up. So anyway, the story is of this man, Jeff, and he wakes up in this sort of trap, and he's got to wander his way through the maze. And each way along the step, he finds someone who he has been blaming for the death of his son. And he has to sort of face that and decide whether or not he's going to save them or let them die or be like a party to their death. And then Jigsaw tells him on his tape that at the end of it, he'll face the man who's truly responsible for the death of his son. And then he'll have a decision to make. During this time, we're also following Jigsaw and Amanda, who have kidnapped a nurse. And
who's a cheating whore.
Yeah, the first scene with her, we see that her husband just decides that he wants a divorce. So they kidnap her, and we don't know why at first, but we've known through the whole movie that Jigsaw is a cancer patient, and he's so close to dying that they need to bring this nurse in. And
she's a doctor. Don't call her a nurse just because she's a woman.
Yeah, I guess she's a doctor. She's like the best doctor in the hospital, too.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm saying that.
Fucking sexist pig.
I guess I am a sexist. Look at that. I didn't even know it. So they bring her there, and Amanda hooks her up to this rig that it's like it's hooked into Jigsaw's heart rate monitor. So her trap is that she, as long as Jigsaw stays alive, she's
how does that work?
What?
Like, there's no fucking wires hooking it up or anything. Does it just go off the beep of the sound?
I don't know. You're not supposed to, like,
no, because it, no, if it went off the beep of the sound, she would have been shot.
It's the same, like, I think with movies, you just need to, like, forgive technology. Cool. Forgive technology. Just be like, movie technology is different.
Star Trek always stayed pretty much.
They're fucking setting their phasers to stun. But somehow, like, they can never figure out how to build their center console to where it wouldn't just spark it as soon as you got shot. So fucking dangerous. Anyway.
God, we're a couple of nerds.
What was I talking about? Anyway, she's hooked into Jigsaw's heart rate monitor. So if he dies, she dies, is the whole trap. And then we're also following the police, sort of looking into Jigsaw's trap. There's, like, unrelated deaths that are going on through the course of this that the police are discovering. And what they start figuring out is that
something's happened.
Yeah, something's different with Jigsaw's killings, because they're no longer, it's no longer like a test of people's will. It's just like a death trap, because there's no way they can escape. And actually, that was in Saw, was that in Saw? No, that was Saw 3. Yeah. Does she, when is the lady
Carrie, it's Saw 3.
She dies in Saw 3?
I thought it was.
Yeah, it's in the middle, I guess. That's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I was thinking it was like right away, but
it is right away in Saw 3.
Yeah, it's the beginning of Saw 4, though, that they find her body, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
But it's pretty much, I guess, it's in the first half of Saw 3 when she gets her chest ripped open.
Yeah. And I saw another movie she was in recently. She is fucking hot.
Yeah, well, I could tell you she's fucking hot in there.
Yeah.
She kind of reminds me of that blonde off of House. I don't know if you ever
seen
House.
I don't watch House.
Yeah, she's fucking hot, too. I'd
yeah, but she's in this movie called The Last Action Hero. No, Last... No, that's Last Action Heroes with Arnold Schwarzenegger. The Movie Hero with fucking Jeremy Sisto and her, which is essentially the same plot as Last Action Hero with Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's not a good movie, but she's hot in it. Anyway, yeah, so there's also them, like, figuring that out. And the lady cop who's been in all the movies dies in this one through one of the Jigsaw traps, and Amanda comes in and, like, just watches her die, essentially.
Yeah.
So it's also like, it's like the struggle of the police trying to actually figure out what's going on with Jigsaw, and Jigsaw trying to, like, figure out what's going on with Amanda, essentially.
No, it's part of her whole fucking,
yeah, it's her test or whatever.
Yeah.
The guy Jeff works his way through the traps.
Does she die in Saw 3, the Carrie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. For sure. Because okay. I saw it. I remember seeing it.
That's true. That's weekend. Right, because we watched it all as a family. That was 3 days after.
You guys did? You watched them all as a family?
It was September 15th, 3 days after. It's kind of awkward for a little bit.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, huh, should we be watching this soon after a death? Ah, fuck it. Look at that fucking bitch get her fucking chest ripped open.
That's funny.
Yeah. Because, you know, the beginning, it starts off with that guy with the things on the ring guy and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's kind of like, huh, this is kind of weird. Kind of bad timing.
Maybe in bad taste.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, he's working his way through the traps, and he's like, each way through this, he's like dealing with the shit that he's been, where he's, his son's room, he like wouldn't let be messed up, and to save one of the people, he has to burn all his son's toys. Yeah.
Which, where do you get that many fucking pigs at? And what that fucking machine was even made for in the beginning?
I don't know.
I have no fucking clue.
I mean, Jigsaw is an engineer. They state later on through the movies, but where he got this fucking money is unbelievable. To like,
he's published.
What?
He's published. Gehry just made fucking $15 million to build a defunct building for MIT.
Really?
Those fucking people make a lot of fucking money.
He's not an architect, though. He's an engineer.
They still make a lot of money. You still
I know. I'm saying, though, like, the amount of money to, like, build these things, you gotta get raw materials, which for some reason are still rusty. And you gotta, like, rent all these fucking buildings and the electric bill to run machines like that. And you gotta, buy, like, dead, rotting pigs and...
They're all closed buildings, though.
But I'm sure he has to pay for it. Like, he's got to run electricity to them.
It's It's all abandoned buildings. Remember,
that's they still have the electric company is not going to look into it when all of a sudden the bill just spikes.
I mean, I would assume they would. They assume it would be cut off. But yeah, this is movies. Remember?
Yeah,
I can't remember if Midnight Cowboy they had electricity in that house or not.
I don't know.
Have you even seen Midnight Cowboy?
Is it the John Travolta movie?
John Voight and Dustin Boyd? Hoffman. John Voight.
Then I'm thinking of a different movie. Okay. Yeah, I have not seen it then.
John Voight's a male gigolo. He wants to be in New York City, and yeah, it's
not seen it.
That's really actually a pretty crappy movie.
Okay. anyway, he's working his way through the mazes. Those don't really matter that much. Essentially, the end of it, he walks into the room where the nurse has just saved Jigsaw's life.
Correct.
And Amanda is flipping out because of this relationship that started forming between Jigsaw and this doctor, not nurse.
Yeah.
And she's fuck this, and she's going to kill the lady. And then the guy walks in.
Perfect timing, by the way.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, right?
Yeah.
For realsies.
What the fuck did you just say?
And he walks in and shoots Amanda, which then... has Amanda killed the doctor first? Yeah, kills the doctor first, right? She shoots her in the stomach.
No.
No?
Oh, she shoots her in the stomach. Yeah, sorry.
But she wouldn't have died, probably.
Yeah.
So she shoots her in the stomach. He shoots Amanda.
Correct.
Then
the Jigsaw Tobin Bell kind of goes, ha ha.
Yeah, he tells the guy that he is actually responsible for his son's death. Well,
first, you have one final test.
Oh, the death of his child is what it is. Fucking, that's what he's talking about. The man who's responsible for the death of your child. And he, through the whole movie, he thinks he's talking about his son, but he's really talking about his daughter, who he's got locked in a room and is going to die.
Yeah.
And he tells him that if he forgives him or whatever, he'll let it go. And then the guy kills Jigsaw, which then kills his wife.
Correct.
This is fucked up.
And then the door fucking closes.
Right.
And then you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Which is the one plot hole, I think, from Saw 4 that I didn't get, which we'll talk about in a second, because you're going to explain Saw 4.
I'm done
talking for a second. Yeah, so this leads into directly to Saw 4, because during this movie, we see a few things play out, which then are part of Saw 4. So hopefully by now you've seen Saw 4, and we're going to spoil the whole thing. So go ahead.
Okay, I'll give it a good attempt. Warning, I didn't really get the movie until after I actually thought about it. So,
right.
So, because to me, it didn't make any sense. It starts off with the black guy. It's kind of all hardcore Danny Riggs. Glover. Yeah, Riggs.
He's been just a background character through all these movies.
He's always been Donnie Wahlberg's best friend, kind of in a weird way. He's always there for him.
Yeah.
Holding him back from beating the shit out of Jigsaw. Anyways, he basically... You already know something bad's going to happen because it starts off with some wife problems. You're like, he's fucked. And it basically boils down to he's being put to a test. He's going to...
Yeah. Well, I mean, right away we know it's different. It's some sort of fucked up timeline from Saw 3 because Amanda's still alive. Not Amanda. Carrie.
No.
She's still alive, yeah. Because remember, it opens him in the room with the trap, the rings, I think. Or maybe it's a different one. Wait, no.
I could have sworn
maybe that's 3. That is 3. Fuck. 3 was the ring.
Yeah, because you're supposed to tie this into Saw 4 and you're Saw right. 3.
Damn it, that was
you just thing. Explained it to me earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saw 4 basically opens with Carrie and some rats. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck me. You're right.
Yeah. Okay.
They find the body of Carrie.
Yeah, and he goes ape shit, and then the fucking FBI agents come
because
in.
Because he bursts through the door and they're like, what the fuck is wrong with you, retard?
Yeah, and the FBI agents come in, and so you have this fucking story now of, Carrie's dead, Riggs is going crazy, he's having wife problems, so he's fucked, and he gets put to a test where in order to find out what the hell's going on, he's got to basically set up traps for people.
Yeah, we're, again, spoiling this, so you see him get kidnapped by the pig-faced thing, and you don't know who that is. You also see what you think is the head detective or chief of police or some sort of fucking thing get kidnapped.
Yeah.
But you don't.
Correct.
Anyway, go ahead.
And it basically follows Riggs's life story as a cop. You see some flashbacks where his... flashbacks are of him and his first, is this his first day on the job? Or
I don't think so.
I couldn't really understand
it.
It's early on in his career, but it kind of acted like it was his first day on the job.
Yeah.
And he basically has to go for a child abuse case and a wife abuse case. And, you know, he punches the guy, he gets in some trouble.
Yeah, because he realizes that the guy's going to get off.
Yeah. And so that kind of sets up his whole story and kind of the culmination of he's going to see each one of these people and some other people down the line.
Yeah.
He thinks his wife's kidnapped. And
yeah, it's like putting him to the test.
He has actually, I'm thinking about this, he has a lot of fucking weird shit happening to him.
Yeah.
He's getting three or four different storylines thrown at him.
Yeah. I mean, like, some of them are completely unrelated to, like, the fat guy.
Yeah.
But it's essentially, like, testing him to see.
And I guess, no, to be fair, they're trying to get the two FBI agents to think it's him, and they're trying to stop him.
I don't think he's trying to convince them, because, like...
He's just trying to lead them to him, because that's kind of the logical progression. They're going to try to stop him, and they're trying to beat him to the next place.
Right.
I guess, somewhat.
But, yeah, I mean, idea is, like... Like each sort of death he sees writing on the wall, and it's like, see what I see, hear what I hear, whatever. So it's like trying to explain to Riggs why Jigsaw is the way he is.
Yeah, and somehow this fucking FBI agent comes in, and he always notices the one thing that's out of place, like this fucking wife.
He's a terrible actor, too, that FBI agent.
This is such a hard plot. It's like, the plot is like a... If you guys probably listen to this show a lot, you hear me retell plots and they make no fucking sense
because
they're all out of sequence and shit. This is how this fucking movie was.
Yeah.
Because then the head FBI agent goes to his wife. Then you get the whole fucking wife and Tobin Bell pre-divorce
story. It's like it's a prequel. It's future from the other Saw movies. It's the same time. Like, the timeline, in one sense, it's really cool because of the way it ties shit together. But in another sense, it's fucking annoying.
And it's also just I always am the optimist. And I don't know if this is true or not. I'm hoping he was going for that type of reaction where you're just kind of like, what the fuck's going on?
I mean, I think you leave that theater and you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah. I mean, I'm hoping that's what they want, because Saw 5 is going to come out and it's going to...
And I think...
Every fucking show I had but this motherfucker.
Well, you're wearing a hat. But I think, like, he puts... I wish there would have been a little bit of a recap of the first... If I don't know how you would do that. I mean, a few times they did that, like, in Spider-Man 3, I think they did it, where it's, like, during the credits they do a recap of the first movies.
Yeah.
I wish they would have done that, because, like, if you haven't seen these first three movies, like, just before you left for the theater to see Saw 4, you're, like, fucked.
Yeah. So, I mean, you find out also, most interesting part, Tobin Bell's first victim...
Right.
Which is, I'm going to call him Diego. I don't know what his
real... Racist.
Don't know what his real fucking name is. He might not have even been Mexican. I just assumed he was because he was a junkie in fucking L.A. No, I don't know if they're in L.A. or not either.
Nice.
Hey, so there goes our California listeners.
Anyway.
I guess they're not all Mexican there. Some Hondurans. That's my cousin. I can say this shit because I'm related to...
to someone from Honduras. Yeah. So you can make fun of Mexican.
Hey, if you can make fun of nurses, so you're actually doctors.
I'm just sexist. You're racist.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. What were we talking about?
Basically, you find out his first test is going to be the guy that kills his baby, which is the reason Tobin Bell gets all pissed off.
Yeah, which they don't. Which is different from the plot line that they explain in the first or second movie.
The first one.
No, it's the second one, I think. Maybe.
No, it's the second
it's the second one. Because he explained it to Donnie Wahlberg, where like, the reason he started doing this was because he tried to kill himself.
Yeah.
And he didn't die. And then he's like, wow, surviving a near-death experience is so... Which I guess you could say like both of those tied together was the reason. But
I guess it was the death of a child that led him to the suicide.
Yeah, maybe. That makes sense. But, that's the reason why he started on this whole rampage. And they show the origin of the pig mask, which I didn't like.
That was really stupid. The Chinese festival.
Yeah. That was pretty annoying.
Yeah. So let's kind of just... There's all these different storylines going on. You know it's going to go somewhere.
There's two main storylines in terms of... Or I guess just one. But then the final one from three ends up coming up in the end.
Yeah.
But the main one being...
That... they figure out it's going to be, well, the cops think it's going to be the lawyer who defended the guy that Riggs punched.
Yes.
Is the guy who might be the helper.
Yeah.
Of Jigsaw, the third helper, the man who picked up Carrie and put Carrie on the thing.
Right.
And so you go to him and you see Eric Matthews hanging on some ice.
Yeah.
He's standing on ice, hanging. And another guy who somehow is going to be electrocuted.
The detective, the head detective, that we thought we saw got kidnapped earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
Which was a pretty genius shot, I have to say. I should always like just. When you don't see like them actually get kidnapped, you should know that that's the guy.
Yeah. Should I tell him how I thought he was the guy?
Yeah, because he thought he wasn't in any of the other movies.
Because we literally just beforehand were talking about an episode of Numbers, how guest stars who you've never seen in any episode before, you just kind of know he's going to turn out to be the killer. And I just never realized he was in any of the movies again. So I'm thinking, oh, fuck, he's the killer then. So it was a very lucky guess. I kind of wished that wasn't true. Cause
So in the end, let's explain how it plays out.
Jesus.
Okay, so.
Okay, Riggs is. Yeah, Riggs. Figured it out.
Riggs has finally found his final test, and it's like he sees Eric Matthews.
Yeah. All he has to do is wait.
Yeah.
Goes back to that thing.
Yeah. It goes back to in the movie where, like, you never go through an unsecured door.
Yeah.
So he sees Eric Matthews and just, like, sort of freaks out and bursts through the door, which then triggers a thing which lowers these two other ice blocks which come down and crush Eric's head.
Which is fucking awesome.
So he ends up killing Eric. The other guy dies because he didn't... Or no, he I guess maybe he survives. But the other guy who was sort of the red herring for who was helping Jigsaw gets killed, I think. Maybe he doesn't.
Yeah, because him and Riggs do like a shootout thing together. Right.
Yeah, that's it. He shoots the wrong guy, and then as Riggs is standing there, the detective that's like his boss stands up, and what's he do to Riggs?
I think Riggs was shot by the lawyer too, wasn't he? I could have sworn
maybe he just locks him in the room.
Maybe when Riggs went through the door, he might have also got shot.
Yeah, he got shot for sure.
I know he got shot in the stomach because he was laying on the ground. And then
I didn't know if he killed him or not, if he just left him there.
I don't think he didn't kill him. I think he just closed the door on him.
Okay, yeah.
Maybe he did kill him.
Yeah, and then we also go to the FBI agent who has found the house where Jigsaw was at in the third movie, and he comes into the room at the same time Jeff kills Amanda in Saw 3.
Yeah.
And then the detective steps out and locks that door behind them, the two of them, and they're both locked in that room, I guess.
Yeah.
We assume.
But
it doesn't make sense because in Saw 3, we never saw him get in the room when the door locked.
Correct.
So.
And then somehow Saw 4 actually opens with Tobin Bell on the autopsy table.
Yes. We didn't talk about that at all because was the thing I've been hearing is like people think it's the most fucked up thing ever. Like that autopsy. And the dude behind us was obviously freaking out because he was like going to throw up on me, I guess.
His girlfriend had to calm him down.
His girlfriend was like essentially just calling him a bitch.
Yeah.
And she's like, do we have to fucking leave? And he's like, no, I'll make it. Anyway, but I had just seen Aftermath, the Nacho Cerda short that's like 30 minutes of just, and they used real cadavers for like at least part of it. I'm sure not the part where he's fucking the cadaver, but it's like this dude who's he's left alone in the autopsy room, and he like just cuts the woman open, and he does like a full autopsy first, and then he like uses her blood to jerk himself off, and then he gets up there and starts fucking her with the knife, and then starts fucking her for real like himself, and he like sets up a still camera so it's flashing on him as he's fucking her, and then he takes her heart and cuts it up in a blender and feeds it to his dog. Anyway, it was a good movie.
Yeah.
And there's no dialogue for the entire thing. Not a single word spoken. But anyway, I just seen that like maybe a month ahead of time or something. So that autopsy was kind of like nothing.
But to be fair, most when they say that it's because it's Hollywood mainstream.
Yeah. I think when this movie opened at $30 million, the majority of the people that spent that $30 million had never seen anything like that before, for sure. But I mean,
I don't even think it was that.
Yeah, I mean, we've watched more like fucked up things than that. So.
Yeah.
Whatever. But yeah, so Saw 4 ends sort of again on another cliffhanger. But Saw 4 ends right at the beginning when the detective has picked up a tape that was left in Jigsaw's stomach, and it's saying that my work will continue.
Yeah.
So that's sort of where we end, where the detective has thought that his role was over with working with Jigsaw. He thought he was done since Jigsaw was dead, but it's apparently going to continue. And I don't know if he's going to be the killer from now on.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, and we also didn't end the story. We don't know what was in that letter to Amanda in Saw 3 and 4. Like, we still never find out what that was. The FBI agent and Jeff, who was fucking crazy at the end of Saw 3, we don't know what's going to happen with those two.
See, what I just don't understand is...
Riggs still isn't dead, I guess.
What? Like, Jeff in Saw 3 doesn't even act like we were... Let's go on that. Doesn't even act like someone else is in the room. There's no change. So he comes in and he shoots Amanda in Saw 4, the FBI agent.
Yeah.
And then closes the door. But in Saw 3, Jeff, there's none of that.
That's the big plot hole, which maybe there's some sort of explanation for that I don't understand. But, yeah. Like, the door definitely closed in Saw 3 without the FBI agent in the room.
Correct.
And then somehow in Saw 4, he is in the room. So I don't know.
Because in Saw 3, you definitely see Jeff kill Tobin Bell.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah.
And then also, like, how did they get the body out of there?
That's what you were saying? That's what I'm getting
How did they get out of that room? I don't know. Maybe that's Saw 5 is going to explain all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
Because Tobin Bell is signed up to do 6 movies, I think.
Yeah.
So that doesn't mean he's going to be in all 6, but, I mean, I'm sure he's going to be in Saw 5 in some capacity.
Does he do anything else?
What?
He's never done anything.
He does, like... I mean, he was sort of like a... He's like third build in some shitty action movies in the 80s and stuff like that. And then he's doing like straight to DVD stuff now, other than that, I think. He's done some big stuff, but I don't think so.
Is he billed as, you know, the Jigsaw?
Yeah, I mean, it's like tons of episodes of TV show. And maybe he's been in some big stuff, but I don't know. I can't think of anything.
He hasn't. I've already looked his Wikipedia.
Oh, okay.
He was a nobody.
Yeah.
He was, I guess, like, to be polite, they call him character actors.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the Saw 4 opened at $30 million. It's already made 55 or something going into this weekend. So, I mean, there's going to be a Saw 5 for sure, no matter how much they spent on Saw. So, I mean, so far from all the movies, I'm sure they've made close to like $550 million or something like that. So, and the budget all totaled together is probably... I don't know, $30 million. So, I mean, they're making so much money off these movies that there's no way it's not going to continue. And it's just, it's some sort of strange phenomenon where movies are not supposed to continue getting these kind of numbers into their fourth movie.
Yeah.
A horror movie. It's unbelievable. But, I mean, the Saw series is just, it's, I guess, just become like a staple of like the movie that the mainstream goes and sees. And
then again, I don't know, but generally, like, trilogies, like Star Wars, it wasn't... Lord of the Rings is about the only other one that's ever, I can remember off the top of my head, that was year after year after year that came out. They're generally
and
huge...
Harry Potter.
Do they come year?
Oh, okay. I mean, they're actually pretty much every year. Huh. No, I guess they're every 2 years. Yeah.
Because that's another thing I think that's good for this one. Like, they could not afford to take 2 or 3 years off.
I heard a rumor that they're taking a year off. Take an extra. This is what I heard. I don't know if that's true or not.
So I just don't know.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Because you'd lose all the momentum.
Yeah. Of course. I don't know who they'd find to direct. I think the two dudes, Mark Dunstan and Patrick Melton, the guys that did Feast, already signed on to do Saw 5 and 6, I believe, is what I heard.
Yeah. So, Wikipedia didn't have the blue Saw 5 and 6. It was still red. The words.
Oh.
I mean, it wasn't hyperlinked.
Yeah.
So maybe it just wasn't hyperlinked on that page and I was too lazy to type in Saw 5.
Yeah. But... I mean, as of right now, it's all still rumors. They turn those movies around so fast. I'm sure the scripts have to be written in like a matter of weeks by the time it's actually like. So that's like.
There's fucking nothing to them.
Yeah. But still. And I mean, Saw 3, it's so directly linked into Saw 4 that. They must have had the idea for Saw 4 at least ahead of time. So I'm sure they know it at least somewhat where the story's going for the rest of them. And then I would not be surprised if we're going to end up seeing 10 or 12 of these by the time it's done.
Jesus.
Not all theatrical, of course.
Yeah, but
I'm sure by Saw 6, they're going to be out of theaters, but...
I don't know.
I mean...
How awesome would that be for...
Well, I mean, the idea that Saw 4 has still made is $30 million is unbelievable opening weekend. It's just... It's not heard of. But...
Again, I mean, like you said, if you just come to expect it, and there's what else you can do on Halloween?
Yeah, I mean, they just have the market so cornered, and they are fun movies to go see on Halloween. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's gonna be gory, it's gonna be kind of interesting. There's gonna be a good twist at the end. It's a fun time. So
it's not gonna be some old lady who turns out to be the killer.
Yeah.
And then drop that whole fucking storyline for the next 10 of them.
Yeah.
When's that movie coming out?
I think next summer is what I heard, or something like that. But I mean, I still don't even know. I don't think they have a director tied to it. We're talking about Friday the 13th, by the way, if you didn't understand that joke.
Yeah, they probably didn't. It wasn't much of a joke.
But sucked. it's Michael Bay's company. And I think because Halloween was a success, it got greenlit, so... I don't remember. I think they announced a writer, but I don't know who it was.
Yeah, I think we talked about it.
Yeah.
So go listen to that episode, too. Look at these plugins we're doing.
I think that's a good idea, though. Friday the 13th remake. It's one of the few that I actually am for, because, like, there's so little to Friday the 13th that I'd like to see, like, something added to it. But anyway, Saw. What do you want to do the ratings now?
Yeah, why don't you go first?
Okay. Saw, the original one, originally, like, when I first saw it, I probably would have given it, like, an 8.5 out of 10. Now, I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10. Saw 2, I'm going to give a 3.5 out of 10. Saw 3, I will give a 6 out of 10. And Saw 4, I will give a 5 out of 10.
Saw 1... I'll go with the... I guess I'll give it an 8 out of 10. The day after, I probably would have gave it like a 10 out of a 10.
Like the after seeing it in theaters?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was just a pretty great twist. But
which is... They actually built up the whole entire... I noticed the little things while watching it. Like, I shouldn't have been surprised.
Yeah.
Because they kept driving home the point.
He
watches every single one of
these. That's the thing with like all these movies, is you shouldn't be surprised at the twist. But
Saw 2... God, I'll be nice and give it a 2 out of 10.
Okay.
I absolutely hated it. Yeah. Saw 3, I'll give probably a 6.5 out of 10. And Saw 4, just because I'll give it a 6 out of 5, or 6.5 out of 10, just because it's basically Saw 3 and they're one gigantic movie together.
Right. Yeah.
And then it's going to build into Saw 5.
Yeah.
Which I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 already.
Already?
All fucking ready.
I don't think it's going to... I can't imagine it's going to be that great, but...
I think there's going to be some fucking crazy-ass twist in it. They're going to fucking...
I mean, the way those two are so tied together, I don't think they can carry out for another movie, but maybe they can. I don't know. I didn't expect Saw 4 to be what it was.
No, I didn't think that was going to be...
Right. But, yeah. I guess that pretty much wraps up the whole Saw franchise. Yeah. It's
in an hour. Not bad.
They're fun movies, not amazing, but, you know, worth seeing for sure. If you're a horror fan, you probably have seen them. So,
and so as most non-horror fans, how about increasing this fucking font?
All right.
There we go.
All right, so you want to tell them how to get a hold of us?
I can. I don't know why they never do. We're lonely here. 206-376-1534 is the number. You can email us at... Bloodlost Horrorcast, the B, the L, and the H are capitalized. I don't think that really matters.
It doesn't matter.
And that's at gmail.com. You can visit us at bloodlosthorror.com. You can go to our store and buy nothing at cafepress.com/bloodlosthorror. We're still waiting for our royalties and our money. we keep going with out-of-pocket expenses. By we, I mean him. You go to our YouTube at youtube.com/group/bloodlosthorrorcast. Is that still in existence?
Yeah.
Do you still put stuff up there?
Occasionally. I was going to put my brother's fight video up there. Did you see that? That was funny.
I've watched it. Yeah. I thought I sent a message so I could post on there, but I don't know what the fuck happened to that message.
No, I never got it.
I sent it as a text message.
Yeah.
Anyway. Not to you, to your fucking brother.
Did you?
Yeah. It's basically something like 8-year-olds I didn't know could fight. And your friends are a bunch of bitches.
Wasn't that shocking, like how badly he kicked that kid's ass?
I think it was more shocking how big a fucking bitch his friends are. Get off of him! You're gonna hurt him! Was that fake or was that real?
I think that was that other kid. Like, I don't think my brother likes those kids. And I'm obviously not in California, so I couldn't do anything, but I did talk shit to that kid. And I, like, made an 8-year-old, not an 8-year-old.
I got him.
Tim got me with that one. I got, like, a 12-year-old to feel really stupid, so that was, I felt proud of myself that day.
See, I also think I told your brother that he should have really slammed that guy's face in the fence instead of taking out his legs.
Yeah.
And he also should probably close up his fighting stance a little bit more. He left himself open quite a few times.
But the kid wasn't swinging, so it's all right.
That's what I say. The guy was such a little bitch. He was cowering away even when there was like your brother was throwing haymakers. Fucking like Muhammad Ali would throw now. Fucking slow and woo! And then you just go to our MySpace at myspace.com/PlayLostHorrorCast. And you go to YouTube, put in Sam vs. Alex fight. Boobs, I think, are the tags.
Really?
Yeah. So Sam versus Alex fighting boobs, and you watch his brother very nicely beat the shit out of this kid.
Yeah.
And all these little bitch people are like, oh, go fight him, Sam, and then like we get him off of him before he can do any real damage.
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential there for your brother to really do some good damage.
But yeah.
Unfortunately, he's friends with bitches.
Yeah. And last episode, we talked about possibly seeing like shit videos. And
oh,
then, like,
yeah.
Directly afterwards, I was on a message board and we found, I'm sure some of you know about this, but if not, 2girls1cup.com. That's the number 2girls1cup.com. And just see that goodness.
There's a fucking website I went to. It's there's an actual porn star that specializes in it. What is this keyword again? The Urban Dictionary word for that shit? Skank? No, not skank. Scat?
Scat.
Scat. I think it's scat.com possibly or something. Just put scat in Google, and there's all these free minute-long videos you can download.
Yeah. There's tons of probably German shiz videos or whatever.
Yeah. But they're really, really weird. I watched a few of them. They were like, huh.
Yeah.
Because, you know, was just kind of disgusting.
Yeah.
These were actual, like, sex. Like, you know, using shit as lube and stuff like that.
Well, they were like spitting it into each other's mouth.
That one was just fucking disgusting. Like they were just, that was weird.
And then vomiting into each other.
Yeah, that was pretty hot.
Pretty hot.
That shit was really weird looking too. Yeah.
I mean, it might have not been real shit, I guess.
Oh, fuck.
It was real coming out of her ass. I'm saying afterwards there was a definite cut.
They fucking take like a turkey baster and fucking stick it up her ass. And
no, I'm saying like afterwards they might have used a different cup. And spit that stuff into each other's mouth. Some sort of other, like, fake shit. But it looked the same. So the vomit was definitely real.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it was real, though.
I think it was real. And I've seen the real shit, too. So.
Yeah. Anyway, go check out that for if you want a good
time. What
is
it again?
2girls1cup.com if you want some jerk-off material.
Yeah. I'm getting hard right now just thinking about it.
Yes.
Good thing you can't see anything.
We will not be doing an After Dark Horror Fest episode because it's not playing anywhere close to us. Like, the closest one is Champagne, so fuck that. But yeah, our next episode, we will be doing some movies.
Yeah, they're going to be good ones.
Yes, good movies. Get in touch with us if you want.
You know the best way to find out what movies we've been doing?
What?
Going to our forum at bloodlosthorrorcon.com.
bloodlosthorror.com/forum.
Yeah.
And retard. Talk to us there. And we normally post up what we're thinking about doing there, or we ask questions. So go there, check it out. We will talk to you next time.
Do we actually talk to them, or do they just listen to us?
We will talk at you next time. See you next time.
Have a good day. Or good one. What do I say?
Good day.
Good day. Okay.